Our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke in chapter 6, verse 27 through 38. So I invite you to hear these words starting at verse 27 of chapter 6 of Luke's gospel. "But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. When I think about that passage of Scripture there, I see how it is instruction for us as a people of faith, instruction how we can live together. Now, this is a part of that passage of Scripture that we read from last week, the Sermon on the Plain, and this sermon that Christ is giving to people who are gathered, teaching about really how we can live together. And it's helpful to think about these words given in their context, given to a people who are subsistence, farmers and subsistence fishermen, where, their livelihood was, a day by day, catch by catch, harvest to harvest, reality. That if something happened, with their catch or with their harvest, their life, not just their livelihood, but their lives was in jeopardy. It was critical for people to work together, to care for one another, to be a community together. And so Christ is sharing these words, recognizing how difficult it can be to live together, especially when your life depends on it. And we have those words in here, the famous passage there, that golden rule, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. It's given in that context, given in that setting where cooperation, living together, working together was absolutely critical. Now, when we look at this passage of Scripture today, we are looking at with our 2019 eyes, with our experiences, what we bring, to the story and to the text. Because that's just a reality of when we read Scripture, we still see it with our eyes today. And so when we look at this passage of Scripture, giving instruction how we can live together, how we can work. Now, while for us, if something happens, our life may not be as in jeopardy as it was back in the time of Christ, but we can see how important it is for us to get along, for us to work together, for us to cooperate, for us to be able to greet each other or at least be civil to each other when we are out and about. Especially, I believe, in our rural setting, in our small town, context, small school context, working and living together in a way that is healthy is critical for us to be together, for us to be a community. But we also know how difficult it can be to live together. Because we do develop histories with one another. We have histories that are created. Now, often those histories are born out of shared experiences that were joyful, experiences that were meaningful. There's also that history that's born out of things that aren't so great. Perhaps things that aren't as joyful. Maybe a bit painful. Difficult arguments. Past tension. And we put a whole lot of energy just because of our human nature thinking about those things when perhaps we see that other person.
It takes energy to have grudges. It takes energy to have, you know, tension between people to the point where it wears us down. It can be exhausting. And the time of Christ, when he was given these instructions, you know, the Sermon on the Plain, he was aware of those human relationships, of the tension, of the grudges. So when Christ is giving these, you know, messages here, it's not, you know, given out of just, you know, out of the, you know, from a cloud, you know, given out right there. It's born out of reality, recognizing the complexity of our human relationships. When I think about this story, I think of actually about an encounter I had when I was younger, growing up on the edge of my hometown in Kansas. And I grew up, you know, in a neighborhood that where there were only two families with children. With that kids my age, there were some children that were in high school, but for the most part, just two, you know, younger families in our neighborhood. We live right up against a stand of trees, about 100 acres of trees, and on the other side of us was our neighborhood. And then down the street was my friend, who I went to school with. We were in different classes, but we went to school together. And we got along. We spent a lot of time together. I mean, we're on the street, we go play, do all, you know, those good things that, you know, I think of fondly. But there was also a time, though, where we had an argument and a disagreement. Because he thought that BMX bikes were the thing. With a 20-inch wheel with pegs on the front and the back and that single gear and the tires that would allow you to do all kinds of tricks, and it was silver. And he thought it was the best thing ever. I had a different opinion. I believed my 24-inch mountain bike with its 10-speed and orange paint, because orange is the best color for any respectable bicycle, that was the best way to get around, the best bicycle that there could exist. We had this argument, and boy, was it an argument. It was an argument that reached the point that when we went to school, we were building coalitions. Now, we had Team BMX over here. We had Team Mountain Bike over here. I mean, this was serious. As nine-year-olds, this was our reality. This was a tension we had to work with and to work through. And this went on for way longer than it needed to go. And my parents, I remember stepping in, and I'm sure it happened with my friend's parents here, the same conversation of, you really gotta work this out. You really need to forgive and move on. Yes, you have different bicycles, that's okay. I remember this conversation from my parents. Now, I will admit, looking back with my adult eyes and experience, I think my parents were also trying to find a way to get me out of the house. And so they had a motivation to for this relationship to get worked out so I could go outside again, because I wasn't going outside. I didn't want to see my friend down the street because I had this thing between us. Now, looking back with my adult eyes, my adult experience, of all the things in this world, I could have spent energy getting upset, frustrated, letting there be a grudge and tension with, of all things, bicycles. And it seems silly now, but in that moment, it was real. But I'm thankful for my parents teaching me and telling me, and also my faith community reaffirming to me that need to forgive, that need to work things out so we can live together. And eventually my friend and I reached a point where we could, you know, play together. We could ride our bikes and things were as they were before. But it took a lot of energy. And if we think about the things that we hold in our lives against other people, the things that we carry, the grudges and the tensions, in a lot of ways, the dynamics are similar. It takes energy. It puts a wedge between people, not just the people in the conflict, but others as well. And it could spread in a way that is not helpful. But I believe our faith has a different way forward for us. Our faith offers us a direction, a way for us to live as people who have differences, who disagree, who even, you know, have arguments and tension between us. And Christ was aware of this. Christ was aware of how tensions and arguments and grudges could develop. And I believe that is why we have this passage of Scripture, why we have the Sermon on the Plain, you know, given in its context even. Because the ability to forgive is transformative in those moments. You know, forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. These are powerful words, but they're words also based in reality. I believe when we have these grudges and tensions and disagreements, it is critical for us to find a way as a people of faith to forgive. Now, I'm fully aware of how hard it can be to forgive, especially if it's a situation where perhaps having a conversation to share that forgiveness is not possible. It may put you in harm's way. It may put you in a situation that is not healthy, or perhaps even the person whom you had that disagreement with is no longer around. Either they've moved or even they've passed on. But I believe as a people of faith, we can find a way at least where we no longer wish ill upon other people. We no longer wish them harm or an injustice to be upon them. I believe we can forgive. We can find a way forward. It may not be instantaneous. It may not be in that moment. But there is a way to forgive and a way for us to be faithful in our witness. Our faith, if we really think about, is grounded on forgiveness. It's grounded on that forgiveness that was offered when Christ was on the cross and he died for our sins, for our brokenness. That was an act of forgiveness. And because we are a people who see, you know, God's grace revealed through Christ and shared, you know, through that sacrifice, you know, we can live out that forgiveness in our witness, in our faith, and in our lives. We can look and see all kinds of news stories, articles. We know of gossip, things on social media that come our way where we know there has been harm, there has been brokenness. But I believe as a people of faith, we can bear witness to that transformative power of forgiveness and find a way to live together. We are a people who can, because our faith instructs us, shows us, but we bear witness to that transformative power of God through forgiveness. And we know this because even though Christ offered himself and we were forgiven of our sins that moment, that was not the end of the story. That resurrection that came, showing that new life, that new beginning, that fresh start, that pushes us forward. That shows us how transformative that act of forgiveness can be in our lives. Because we are a people of hope. We are a people of resurrection. We are a people of new life. Sometimes we get lost and we forget that. We get mired in the weeds. But we are a people of new life and new beginnings. Is any of this easy? Absolutely not. But it does start with us. And our God is aware of how difficult these things are because Christ lived through them. Christ experienced them. So brothers and sisters, when we are struggling to forgive or we feel we have that need to forgive, I believe our God is with us. I believe, you know, the Holy Spirit surrounds us. And I believe that we don't go through those moments and those situations by ourselves all alone. I believe our God is there in those moments, calling us to new life and to a new beginning. So brothers and sisters, if you have a person in your life whom you need to forgive and you're struggling with that forgiveness, our God gets it. Christ has been there. Christ gets it. And the Holy Spirit is with you. So lean into that faith. Lean into that hope as we find a way to live together and be that people of faith. Brothers and sisters, by doing so, I believe we can bear witness to that grace and to that new life, especially if it is hard and difficult, because our God is there And our God calls us to new life, now and forever. Amen.